Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, we are here again in the house of the Lord. And as we enter right now into the word of the Lord, we pray that always, as you said in your word, the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts in this morning, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And glorify yourself in the message of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hopefully, I won't speak too long, but this morning, I want to speak on mountains and valleys. So, mountains and valleys. Well, life is full of mountains and valleys, ups and downs. And I'm going to start here in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, and verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. So we see that this verse tells us right away that you're going to have prosperity and you're going to have adversity sometimes. And he tells you what to do in both cases. When there's prosperity, that's like being on the mountaintop, you know, he said, rejoice and be joyful and give praise to God. And when there is adversity, kind of like being down in the valley, he said, well, you know, think about it, because there's a reason why God allows both. He said, God has set one over against the other. That means God has put both side by side for a reason. And the reason is that, look, he wants us to keep our eyes on him. Amen. Sometimes, you know, you need a little challenge. You need a little travail before something can break forth, you know, and so forth. You know, so, you know, sometimes when the going gets too good, people forget, you know, the Lord. You know, so, you know, the Lord allows these ups and downs and so forth. We see from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, beginning from verse 1. In the beginning, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, everything he created. And we find out that there was darkness in Genesis 1, verse 2. All over the face, you know, the earth was void, there was, you know, darkness, and so forth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And we see in verse 3 that the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. And right away after that, let's look at the next verse, what he said. He said in verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And you've heard me say this before, you know, God, he left the darkness in place. As a matter of fact, he gave a name to the darkness and called it night. You know, and I know with all my heart that if God would have said, let there be light and let the darkness be no more, then there would have been no more darkness. But he didn't say that. In fact, he left the darkness in place for a reason. He even gave the darkness a name. He called it night. And he called the light day. And so we see that these seasons of night and day have endured since that time. And there's always night, there's always day, and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, but let us consider the things that happen, you know, in the mountains and in the valleys. Now, there are many mountains of life that we must climb. Life is like an obstacle course, you know. It's not a sprint, you know. It's not just a, you know, 11-second or 10-second or 9-second race. No, it's a long, drawn-out race, and there are many obstacles on the way, you know. And in particular, there are mountains on the way. You know, and we must climb every mountain. Hallelujah. Get around it or do whatever, you know, but you must not let the mountain be a hindrance. You know, if you cannot move the mountain, then you got to climb it. If you cannot climb it, then you're going to get around it somehow. But you cannot let the mountain be a hindrance. But I want to say to you right away today, folks, that the trials of life and all these things that we face in life sometimes, all they are, you know, as far as if you take it by faith and you know how to walk with God, should be at most a detour. It cannot be a dead end. Amen? If you face a roadblock, you know, in life, at best for you, if you know how to walk your faith, it should be a detour. It cannot be a dead end. That means, well, you know, so that road is blocked, so what? You know, I'll go some other way. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's even in natural things. If one way is blocked, you know, that's not going to, you know, prevent you from going where you're going. If you're determined to get to a place where you're going and you see roadblock, you find some other way to go where you're going. You know, because there's, you know, probably several ways that you can take you there. You know, so there's a roadblock, there's a challenge, and these kind of things. That should not present a dead end. It's just a detour, and we should move on by faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to read something to you here that I wrote a long time ago. You know, and I want to show you the, you know, the what happens in the valley and what happens on the mountains. And what I want to also show you, the light and the dark. You know, now there are times, you know, that and the Lord wants us to be in the light all the time. And when you are in the light and you're in the fellowship, you know, with God, you know, the Holy Spirit is walking with you and God is speaking to you and so forth. And then there are days when it seems as if everything is dark. You can't hear the voice of God. You know, it seems like God is so far away. You know, it seems like, you know, and God will sometimes be silent. Not necessarily because you did anything wrong, you know, but He'll be testing your faith. Amen? Yeah, that's right. God will be silent sometimes and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, but when you are in the light and God is speaking to you and so forth and giving you instruction, you know, and then, you know, because those instructions, you know, some people say, you know, for the rainy day, well, but I tell you what, when you have that light, when you are in that day, so to speak, and God gives you these wonderful experiences and wonderful promises and so forth and everything is going good. And all of a sudden, when that light pulls back and you, it seems like you drop from the mountaintop to the valley and everything around you seems dark, you know, I want you to not forget the word of the Lord that came to you in the light. Amen? That's right. So when you are in the light, this is what I wrote. I said, look, you know, the Lord, you know, gave this to me and I wrote it and I said, look, when you are in the dark, never doubt or forget what God told you in the light. Amen? You know, so, you know, just because everything now seems dark, don't worry about it. You know, God already said what He's going to say. And the word is going to come to pass. Amen. It's kind of like when He said, let us go to the other side. And then as soon as they got on the boat, all hell broke loose. You know, but don't worry about it. You know, God already said we're going to the other side. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. So when you are in the dark, never doubt or forget what God told you in the light. Now, fear will keep you in the valley. You know, you won't, you know, fear and unbelief will keep you in the valley because you see the mountain and say, well, this mountain is too big. I can't climb that mountain. You know, so fear is good and unbelief is going to keep you right there. You know, and, you know, but if you are bold in faith, you know, you're going to take on the challenge. Amen? You know, but, you know, on the other hand, pride will make you fall from the mountain. Hello, folks, you still with me? You know, so, and I'm giving it to you side by side here, you know. Fear will keep you in the valley, will not let you go forward, and unbelief will do that to you as well. But pride will bring you down very quickly from the mountaintop as well. Now, here's another thing that happens while we're in the valley. In the valley, you know, that's where we are trained, that's where we are tested, and that's where we are tried. But in the mountaintop, or when we're on the mountaintop, is when we celebrate. Amen? So we are trained, tried, and tested in the valley, but on the mountaintop is where we celebrate. And look, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The trial of our faith. So sometimes your faith is actually on trial. Now, verse 6 of that, the previous verse says, you know, we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, though need be, you might be in heaviness through manifold temptations. So we find that there is a season where you might be in heaviness, you know, because there are a lot of trials and testings and so forth. And you find that, look, there's hardly anybody here that doesn't experience these ups and downs. Even in your families, you know, husband and wife sometimes, everything is going good, and then all of a sudden, boom, one day, just like that, you know, then, you know, just some kind of argument and something, and then everything looks not so good, you know, but to remember, you know, and for you, I have to say that too, you know, if one day something doesn't look so good, don't forget all the good times, amen, praise God. So it's kind of same thing, you know, when you're in the dark, don't ever forget what God already showed you in the light. So don't forget the good times, you know, and don't let the enemy capitalize on, you know, some kind of thing that just happened, you know, or some event that's going on right now. You know, when we face trials, and if we give up in the day of adversity, what does the Bible say? In Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, it means that your strength is little. You know, so, and God doesn't want our strength to be little. In fact, the Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, so don't let your strength be little. Do not faint in the day of adversity. Amen? Amen, folks? Now, also, let me read to you this in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. He says, basically, when things are happening around you, and you're weary, you know, what are you going to do when even more difficult things happen in later on? You know, so every challenge that we face, we've got to face them squarely, you know, with the power of the Lord, and we must not faint. Amen? You must not give up. Listen to this. If thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how can you contend with horses? You know, and if in the land of peace, you know, when things are going well, you know, and so forth, you know, you're weary, then what are you going to do when everything, all hell breaks loose? That's what he's saying. You know, so all these challenges and little things that we are facing from day to day, you know, they're just like being in the, you know, sometimes you're in the valley, but, you know, you have to climb also to the mountaintop. When you get to the mountaintop, you will celebrate. And before every major breakthrough, there is going to be some kind of real testing. You know, testings come before a breakthrough. You know, and sometimes, you know, some of the greatest things that we've seen in the Bible, some of the greatest miracles and so forth like that, you know, come just, you know, I mean, they are preceded by travail. You know, travail. You know, travail. Travail. You know, it doesn't look too good sometimes, you know, but something beautiful usually comes from that travail. Amen? But if you look at the story of the butterfly, how it comes from the cocoon and the caterpillar and so forth, you know, the caterpillar is a little ugly and all that stuff, and there is a struggling and all of these things, you know, just before the thing comes into this beautiful, beautiful butterfly, just floats away, you know, and, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to, you know, it's going to look good, because, you know, the caterpillar looks ugly and so forth like that, you know, but eventually, it turns into this thing beautiful, this beautiful butterfly. Amen? Now, listen to this in John 16 and verse 21. A woman, and there are many women here that will bear witness to this. A woman, when she has, you know, when she is in travail, has sorrow. And I tell you what, folks, some women have gone through this, and they, you know, they'll tell you about it. Because her hour has come, you know, this one's talking about a pregnant lady, you know, pregnant, ready to give birth, you know, when she's in travail. You know, sometimes, you know, they say all kinds of things, you know, when they are going through that pain, you know. And, you know, because that pain, when that pain gets a hold of them, I guarantee you, it's not anything funny at all, you know. And Jesus said it himself. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, amen, she remembers no more the anguish, because for the joy that a man child is born into the world. You know, but you see that before this birth, before this beautiful joy, before this bundle of joy, as people call it, before this great thing was going to happen, you know, there was a lot of travail. There was pain. There was anguish and so forth. You know, and they tell the woman, push, and all these things. And they're going through all these things and so forth. You know, and it's very painful. But suddenly, hallelujah. When that baby comes forth, my goodness, then there is a bundle of joy. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes God must take you from your place of comfort. And I'm getting into the strong part of this message right now. God must take you sometimes from your place of comfort and put you in an uncomfortable situation. Amen? That's right. You know, that's kind of like He may, you know, let you come down from the valley sometimes. You know, I mean, come from the mountain. You know, there's a very, there are many reasons why you may come down from there. You may come down through foolishness, through pride. But also God may bring you down from there because He wants you, you know, to go through some things. But I tell you something, folks. Before you can climb the next mountain, now just visualize this in your mind, you know, because, you know, even natural things teaches us spiritual things sometimes, you know, because first the natural and then there the spiritual. So we have to learn from natural things. If you are climbing mountains in a row, you know, if you climb the first one, you are on top and you are rejoicing. And if you see that there are other mountains on top, you know, what is the thing that separates the two mountains? It's a valley. And before you can climb the next mountain, you're going to have to come down from this mountain. Amen? Does everybody understand that? If you're on the top of the mountain and you need to climb the next mountain, you're going to have to come down from this mountain before you can climb the next mountain. And that is the way life is. It's kind of ups and downs. You know, if you have wisdom in your life and if you have faith and you walk close with God, perhaps most of the time the Lord will allow you to stay on the mountain. But I guarantee you, there's always going to be some valleys. Because that's the way it is. There is night, there is day. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you can read from verses 1 to 8, and he will tell you all the seasons. There is a time for this, and there is a time for that. In fact, there is a time to laugh, and there is a time to cry. There is even a time for war, and there is a time for peace. There is a time for song and dance, and there is a time to refrain from dancing. You know, there is a time even to be born, you know, he said, and there's a time for the end of life for some folks. You know, so he talks about all these things, ups and downs, times and seasons and everything. And night and day, it's all there. But we want you to know that no matter whether it is valley, no matter whether it is mountain, the Lord is always with you. Amen. He will never leave you, whether you are in the mountaintop, whether you are on the mountain, or whether you are in the valley, no matter where you are, he will never leave you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, so you've got to arm yourself with that strength. Now listen to this in Psalms 30 and verse 5. We see in this verse, now God also is talking about, you know, the travail and the sorrow that precedes the joy. So we see in this verse, he says that, look, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Amen. So we see that joy sometimes might be preceded by weeping. Now, but I want to tell you, even in natural things also, if you look at the season and the cycle of the days and the hours of the day, before that day can break, there must first be darkness. The night precedes the daybreak all the time. And even when you have daybreak, it's not immediately darkness after daybreak. I don't know if you've ever considered that. You know, well, God allows us to enjoy the daybreak, you know. The day breaks, you know, early in the day, and then it gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, you know. And by noonday, 12 p.m. or 2 o'clock in the afternoon or 4 o'clock, you know, it's so bright and everybody's enjoying the goodness and so forth like that. You know, then after a while, you know, it begins to, you know, fade away, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and then there's dusk, and in the evening, and then it begins to get very dark, and then suddenly there's night, and it's so dark, and so on, and then, at some point in time, the day breaks again, amen? That's the cycle that we go through all the time. No matter how long the night lasts, the day must break at some time, amen? So we know that no night can last forever, hallelujah. Everything that we go through, we know it is for a reason. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, Paul was exhorting Timothy. He said, look, thou therefore you need to endure hardships, and hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Don't give up just because there are some problems and so forth. You know, some people, first little sign of trouble, you know, they give up. They throw their hands up. They throw in the towel or whatever it is, you know, and so forth. Then your strength is little. And what the Lord is trying to do in this church is to build, you know, people of faith. Amen? You know, we want you to have faith. Hallelujah. Faith for crisis, faith for trouble, faith for anything. Praise ye the name of the Lord. In fact, the Bible says, taking on the shield of faith, by which you can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Doesn't matter what he throws at you, you quench it because you have that shield of faith. Amen. Amen. So you got to use your faith to rise, you know, to the occasion. And don't let the mountain, or whatever it is. Sometimes even mountains might even be a hindrance. You know, I've shown the mountain as a place where you celebrate. But if you look at the mountain, sometimes it may be a hindrance if you don't get to it, you know, and climb it. You know, you got to climb the mountain, and then when you get to the top, you celebrate. And every, you know, it's, you know, when you're climbing these mountains, I mean, it's also like climbing a series of a very long ladder, and there's a landing in between the ladders. Every time you get to a resting place, you rest a little bit, then you got to climb more ladders, you know. And then you get to a landing, you rest a little bit, then you got to climb more ladders. It's kind of like you're taking the staircase in a very tall building. You know, you will notice that they never have the staircase go from ground level to the 20th floor all in one shot. How many of you ever seen that? No, it doesn't happen like that. And you know, if you want to do that, you're going to have to take the elevator. But if you're going on the staircase, you climb to one level, and even sometimes, you know, they break up the stairs. You go this way, and then the stairs turn this way, and there's a little landing there, and then you get to that floor. And then the stair goes this way, and then there's a little landing, and then you get to this floor. And then as you go up, you know, the landing makes the grade, you know, not so hard. You know, so it gets a little place of rest, it looks like. But then you're not done yet. You got to keep climbing. Amen?
Amen?
So that's the way that life is. Mountains, valleys, all of these things that we're going through, you know, they're just things that life throws at us. But we got to keep moving. Amen?
Amen.
We got to keep moving. You cannot stay back and say, well, just because I've got all these valleys and so forth, all these mountains, I'm not going to go forward. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, this is Paul's own testimony, you know, and he's going to tell you that, look, even when I'm in darkness, God can still cause the light to shine for me. Amen? But the same God that commanded light to shine out of darkness back then that we read in Genesis, he has also shined in our hearts. Verse 7. What does he say next? He said, look, we have this treasure, this light that is shining. We have it in earthen vessels so that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Verse 8. And now look at what he's going to say here. We are troubled on every side, but yet we are not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair, which means we don't lose hope and we don't give up. Verse 9. You know, and he said, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. Amen? When we are in the valley, we know that there is going to be a mountaintop. When we are in the dark, we know there is going to be the light. We know the light is going to shine. But Micah said the same thing. He said, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. And when I fall, I shall arise. Therefore, there is no reason for my enemy to rejoice over me. That's in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. So, everything that we face in life, it's there for a reason. The adversity is there. The prosperity is there. But we must move on. Amen. You know, there is a song that I love dearly. And you can put that song up for me. It says, through it all, I've learned to trust in the Lord. I've learned to trust in God. And I've learned to depend upon His word. Through the mountains and through the valleys. I thank God for the mountains. And I thank God for the valleys. You know. And I thank Him for the storms that He's brought me through. Because if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. And I'd never know what faith in God could do. Amen? Hallelujah. So I love this song. You know, I'm going to try to sing it. I'm not a good singer, but and I thank God for the mountains. And I thank Him for the valleys. And I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His word can do. That's the reason I say that through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Are you on the mountaintop right now? Some of you may say, well, I'm not having any problems. Trust me, folks. You cannot stay on that mountaintop forever. Just as long as right now, until the day that the Lamb becomes the light of the city. Right now, the light of the day cannot last forever. It's only 12 hours or so, sometimes longer days, sometimes longer nights. And so the night cannot last forever. There's cycles. So you may be on the mountaintop right now. Well, then you can look at this message and this exhortation as helping you to prepare for the valleys. And if you are in the valley right now, then you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I want to read Psalm 42, and I will be closing with this. And I love, and you know, I love every time I preach, somehow I love to bring David in there, you know. Because I have seen how this man has been through all kinds of things, and he always encouraged himself in the Lord. In fact, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, you know, and verse 6, the story of Ziklag and how they captured his wife and everybody and so forth, we're told that the people wanted to stone him. You know, they wanted to do all of these things. They blamed him for everything and so forth. You know, and then, but we are told that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen? Amen. He encouraged himself in the Lord. He reloaded his faith. You know, when your faith is down, you've got to reload that faith. Amen? Amen. So, in fact, you can read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verses 1 through about 6. And you read the rest of the story. And eventually, he got everything back. Amen? But listen to how he puts it in Psalm 42. I want to read Psalm 42, and then you'll see how, you know, all of the things that he goes through. And when he's down, what does he say to himself? Listen to verses 5. I've got Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11, and also Psalm 43 and verse 5. They say the same thing. Say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And then now he's going to speak to himself. He's going to speak to his soul. This is Psalm 42, verse 5. Hope thou in God, he tells himself. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, he tells himself these things and so forth. Listen to verse 11. He says the same thing. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And he speaks to himself. He encourages himself in the Lord. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. For he is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. Amen. Verse 43, chapter 43 and verse 5. It says the same thing again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? This is the third time. Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Yes. Hallelujah. For the health of, you know, he's the health of my countenance and so forth. So he encourages himself when he's down. But let's read in between the lines now. In Psalm 42, I'm going back to verse 2 of Psalm 42. My heart, my soul thirsted for God and for the living God. What shall I do when I come and appear before God? He says. Verse 3 of Psalm 42. My tears have been my meat day and night. Now, this man, you know, he was full of sorrow sometimes. Say, my tears have been my night. You know, be my meat day and night. You know, because they continually, you know, mock him and say, where is your God? You know, I mean, you know, where is your God? I mean, look at your situation and so forth. You know, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Now, listen to this verse in verse 4. This is where I want to end with this morning, this exhortation. He said, look, when I remember these things, you know, all the problems I'm going and the, you know, the chatter of the people and how they say things and so forth and how my life, you know, and the devil mocks you and so forth when things are not going well. So when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I gone with the multitude, you know, I went with them to the house of God, you know, and so forth. You know, and the voice of joy and with the multitude that kept holy day and so forth. Now, so this man, you know, and like most people, and many people, and some people that might be sitting here today, you know, you come to church to keep holy day, so to speak. You go with the multitude to the house of God, but you still have this burden in your heart, you know, just because you are going through a few valleys. Well, I want to encourage you here this morning. Amen. Because, you know, say, look, I went with them to the house of God. Well, some of you are here today. Well, maybe you see people jumping, shouting, praising the Lord and so forth. But there's some kind of heaviness in your heart. You know, there's some kind of problem in your heart. You know, there's this thing, you know, just weighing you down. But I tell you what, it's only a valley. Amen. And you don't have to stay in the valley. Praise God. You don't have to stay in the valley. You can come up to the mountaintop with the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So this man, he went with the multitude to the house of God and so forth. They kept holy day. He saw them shouting and praising the Lord and so forth. You know, and he tried to praise the Lord too. You know, maybe you try to praise the Lord and so forth. But this thing is weighing you down. But I want to tell you folks that it is just like the night. And a sorrow may endure for a night. But joy must come in the morning. Amen. Joy is coming in the morning. And no matter what you are going through right now, no matter what it is that you are going through right now, praise God. God is going to bring you out of it. Hallelujah. In that chapter that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he does talk about, he said, our light affliction, you know, that we are going through right now, is nothing to be compared, you know, with the exceeding weight of glory that is coming. Amen. You know, so there is this period of suffering and struggle that you may be going through right now. It's probably because you are in the valley. But then God is going to bring you to the mountaintop. Amen. And sometimes God must, you know, make your situation a little bit uncomfortable, you know, so that you may be able to stir yourself up. Praise the Lord. I will tell you this short story as we close. You know, some of you may know about eagles and all that. You know, there is something about, you know, the eagle, how it builds its nest and how it takes care of the young ones and so forth, you know. You know, we're told that the eagles, you know, when they build their nest, they like to build that nest and make it not so very comfortable. And they like to put you know, some sharp things in there and so forth, you know, so that, you know, the eaglet, the young eaglet is not too comfortable, you know. But when the eaglet stays there and is not doing anything, the mother eagle is trying to get the eaglet to do something, you know, and he just stays there not doing something. Then he comes, the mother eagle, and stirs up the nest, you know, and so forth, you know, makes the place a little more uncomfortable for the young eaglet. And if she still doesn't do anything or respond to that, you know, then what does the mother eaglet do? Because she's trying to get her to fly. You know, but, you know, she's not responding. So what does she do? Well, she picks up the young eaglet on her beak and flaps her big, great wings and flies up very high. And then all of a sudden, drops the little bird at heights that are very, very high. And then she say, well, you figure out whether you're going to fly or you won't fly. Praise God. And we know that young eagle is going to flap his wings before he lands, you know, because he doesn't want to crash. And that's the same thing that, you know, we are told in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. He says, you know, as the eagle stirred up her nest, you know, God will sometimes make things a little uncomfortable for you, you know, because he wants you to stir up yourself, you know. Because when people get a little too comfortable, you know, then, you know, you won't be able to move on to the next step. So before you to move on to the next step, you know, sometimes God might make things a little uncomfortable for you, you know. And then if you get a little uncomfortable, it's like a woman, she gets uncomfortable, and she's got to move on to the next step because, you know, maybe she's been carrying that baby and so forth like that, you know, but, you know, all of a sudden, in order for her to bring forth that baby, she gets very, extremely uncomfortable and it gets very painful. And then the baby is coming forth. Amen? We're told the same thing in Romans 8, that the whole creature is traveling until now. We are traveling also. And every time you go through these struggles and these travails, I want you to look ahead and say that there is joy coming in the morning. Amen? Amen. Let's start to our feet here this morning, and I'm going to pray for you. A short exhortation here this morning. I want you to look at, don't look at the current situation that you are in, but look at the joy that is coming right after the travail. Amen? Amen. There may be a struggle. You may be in the valley right now. But I want you to look and see that God is able to put you on top of the mountaintop. Amen? Amen. You know, and that should be your faith, and that should be your hope. And when you stand beneath the mountain, and you see a problem, and you see a challenge of life, and you think, well, gee, you know, I can't climb this mountain. Well, that's fear, and that's unbelief. What you need to do, and the Lord showed me this a long time ago, you know, when you stand beneath a mountain, if you stand right underneath that mountain, sometimes it is hard to see the top of the mountain because of the elevation and the grade. If you raise your neck up this way, you may not even see the mountain if it's too tall, you know, because you are standing right beneath the mountain. You know, but if you take a few steps back and you move back and you look at that mountain, you are able to see the top of the mountain. You know, all of a sudden, it doesn't look so big. And then you see this tremendous, colossal figure that is standing over that mountain. God showed me this one time. Standing beneath the mountain, it looked so big and it dwarfed me completely. And then the Spirit of the Lord said, move back and see the salvation of the Lord. And I moved back, and when I moved back, I looked and I was able to see the top of the mountain, and there was this huge, colossal figure. Hallelujah. And he was standing astride the mountain, and the mountain looked like nothing to him. Hallelujah. And that's the Lord of the mountain. He is there with you. Raise up your hands and let's pray this morning. Amen. The mountain that you think is so big, the Lord of the mountain is there with you. He is also the Lord of the valley. Hallelujah. He's the Lord of everything. Praise God. You know, He will be with you no matter where you are. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, and if you're having a little challenge today, a rough time today, don't worry about it. Good times are also coming. Amen. Praise God. You know, don't worry about it. Good times are right around the corner. You know, you can read that in Exodus 15. You know, the story of Israel, you know, just right around the corner was the, you know, the 12, you know, the 12, you know, lakes and oases and palms and so forth. But they kept grumbling, they kept complaining and everything. But the miracle was right around the corner. You know, so your breakthrough is right around the corner. Amen? Amen. The miracle is right around a corner. And that's the time when, you know, complaints and all of these things come even more to you because your miracle is right around the corner. You know, so instead of complaining and instead of grumbling, I want you to lift up your head and praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Lift up your head this morning and praise the name of the Lord. Thank Him for the mountains and thank Him for the valleys. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, in every situation, give thanks. Instead of complaining about this or that, your job, your this, your that, your spouse, you know, why don't you give praise to the name of the Lord? Hallelujah. Praise God. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they give thanks and they sang praises. And the prison doors were open. Hallelujah. If you sing praise in your dark hours, at the night time, like they did in Acts chapter 16, if you sing that praise, listen to what the Lord is going to do for you. I'm going to read it to you, and the Lord just reminded me in Psalm 42. I had it marked down to read, but I skipped it. And I'm going to read Psalm 42 for you, what He is going to do for you. Let me go back quickly while you're standing to Psalm 42. I think I want to read just one verse there, show you what the Lord, you know, will do for you. If you put your eyes on Him, and never mind whatever is going on, and you trust the Lord, and you encourage yourself in the Lord, here is what He's going to do for you in Psalm 42 and verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Hallelujah. You know, so when you are going through, there is daytime and there is nighttime. This verse 8 of Psalm 42 talks about it. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, you know. And in the nighttime, when you think, well, things are not going so well, he will put a new song in your mouth. Amen. He said, the song shall be with me in the night. Hallelujah. So in the daytime, his loving kindness. In the night, he put a song of victory in your mouth. So rather than complaining, rather than grumbling, you should look for a song of victory. Amen. Let that song of victory be in your mouth when you are in the dark hours. Because soon, and very soon, that day will break. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word of exhortation. Inscribe it in our hearts, O Lord, that we may know that the Lord is always with us. And the Lord said, when you go through the fires, when you go through the waters, whatever you go through, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you. Hallelujah. And there may be some here this morning, Lord, that are going through some challenges, some difficult times, perhaps some days of adversity. Father, Lord, help them to consider, to know that there is a reason and a purpose for everything. But beyond that, Lord, let them also know that joy is coming in the morning. Amen. And Lord, I thank you because joy is definitely coming for your people in the morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, as we rejoice in you. The Bible says rejoicing in tribulation. Instant in prayer. You know, believing the Lord all the time and hoping, you know, for the best. And God will answer your prayer. Lord Jesus, help us, O God, no matter what we are going through, no matter the situation, what it looks like now. And some may be on the mountaintop right now. And let them know and give thanks. The Bible says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice and be thankful unto the Lord. Those who are there on the mountaintop right now, rejoice and give thanks. And those that are in the valley, praise the name of the Lord nonetheless. Because praise will break those barriers for you. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.